We will call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, September 21st, 2022, to order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held September 7th, 2022, approve all claims through September 21st, 2022, in the amount of $562,368.10. Accept claim number 220901031 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $155.94, and claim number 220909 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $21,797.10 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve sheriff's distress warrant report. Approve striking personal property taxes where a distress warrant has been issued for at least 2 years and remains uncollected. Approve receiving treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county which remain unsold for want of bidders, and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales certificates. Approve utility permit number 1255 to Lower Big Blue NRD. The NRD will be placing a new water line for service to residences in Holmesville. A residence in Holmesville, NRD will excavate and open a 2-inch wide by 6-foot deep trench from the corner of 2nd Street and B Street in the south grader ditch, working west to the residence. This was an emergency permit. Mark gave the approval to the NRD to start work on this due to the residents not having running water because of a break in the line. Located in lots 2 and 3 of Block 11, Holmesville, Nebraska, northeast quarter section of 29 Township 3 North, Range 7 East, Rockford Township. Approved utility permit number 1256 to Unite Private Networks. UPN will be replacing an underground fiber network cable running along the County Road South 36th for a gauge county culvert project. UPN will install new pull boxes at the end of each tie-in location and bore a 2-inch by 48-inch deep fiber line in the west grader ditch for approximately 1,800 feet between pull boxes. Fiber line will be bored to 10-foot depth around structures located east of Section 6, Township 2 North, Range 7 East, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Approved specifications and call for bids on 22-23 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff, jail, veterans office, former bus stop location, and parking lots. Bids to be opened October 5th, 2022 at 9:15. Are there any items on the consent agenda anyone would like to pull off, or I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Schuler, second by Swavely.
No.
Dorn. Any comments? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Up next, regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 220901031 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $155.94.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, seconded by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 220901099 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $21,797.10. This would bring the total of claims paid through September 21st, 2022 to $584,321.14. This is a company I'm associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with team and abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for anything that's not on the agenda later. Seeing none, we will. Senator Dorn, do you need to get rolling? Okay, we'll go through committee reports and building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Swayze.
Okay, we'll let Dave talk. There's nothing major going on that's earth-shattering or anything like that. But we have a couple trees that need some help and things like that. But
yes. Dave will... I'm working on some bids to get the linden tree down yet. And then we did have an issue with a hackberry tree behind the veterans office that a large branch broke off of. So I'm just concerned with the safety issue with that. It landed in the parking lot behind the veterans office. So get some bids on that. The concrete work on the driveway area is coming along nicely. I see where they just poured an area this morning, and Eric had said that they're going to do it in a couple sections so they can pull the truck up as needed when they get to that point. And other than that, as you said in the agenda, snow removal bids will be due October 5th at 9:15, so get ready for that. The north side of the courthouse is coming along nicely with repair, or not repair work, it would be the repointing. They're grinding out the joints and repointing the mortar joints. And he did have one area that was in pretty bad shape, so he did do a little bit of repair work on the, it's a ledge that comes right above these windows, so he did repair that. And he was here last fall. His name's Bob, and he really has that color matched very good. We have had issues in the past with the samples but repair work that they did. Some of them are discolored, and I think that was because they're dyeing, putting an over dye on some of them, and over time that dye seems to fade out. So we're kind of looking at that too to see what we can do on some of the repairs that were done earlier to make sure that those match closer to. So that's what I had.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization, really nothing new there. Little discussion just now this morning. Finance and insurance.
I'll try to do my best to be Terry.
Ms. Haxby.
Big ticket items. Axon Enterprise Incorporated, Sheriff Law Enforcement Supplies, $14,400. Can't do it. Region 5 Systems EPC Services, $25,307.25. Southeast Nebraska Development District membership dues, $11,522. Standard Appraisal Services Appraisal Maintenance, $10,067.50. Washington County Sheriff's Office Inmate Boarding, $13,950. Concrete Sand and Gravel for Rock and Gravel, $25,923.87. RLT Min Construction, which is gravel and hauling, $21,797.10. Sat Brothers Petroleum for fuel and oil, $31,172.96.
I think the emphasis has to be on the second.
No, it's the beginning.
Is it?
14,000.
Oh, there we go.
That's yeah.
Veterans Service. Morning, Scott.
Morning. How are y'all?
Wonderful.
Good morning.
Thanks.
The County Veterans Service Committee met on September 15th. We talked about Nebraska Veteran Aid. We had two claims this quarter. One was for a funeral, and the other one was denied. It was a person that got hurt down in Wymoor after the storm, but he still had pay coming in, so we weren't able to get that one passed through. We had no county veteran aid claims. We had 19 deceased veterans since June. We started planning and working on the Veterans Day program. I encourage everyone to come out to the program. The Beatrice High School does a great job. It's probably one of the better the Veteran Day programs in the state. Then we talked about the PACT Act and Camp Lejeune Act. Right now, they're starting to get things figured out a little bit. They recommend all that junk you see on TV, all the lawyers trying to piggyback on this deal, that they're advising us not to do that because it will affect their Medicaid, their Medicare, any veteran claims that they have already through the VA, so it will affect all that stuff. So they have till January of 2004 to make those claims, so they just need to be really think about it hard before they do it. Shirley will be attending the Veterans Service Officer Certification course in October, the 12th through the 14th. In July, they started a new suicide hotline number. It's 988, and then if you're a veteran, it's plus one. Any questions? That's my report. Any questions?
Have you had anybody put in names for veteran service awards?
Yeah, I keep asking all around. I go to all the veteran meetings, the Legion, the VFWs, and the EVETs, and Buddy Check, and I ask everybody all the time, and I'm just not getting any bites on it right now.
So. Thank you for asking.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Yep, thank you.
Human Resources, Employee Relations, nothing really pertinent on that right now. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
So you got something this morning?
Just a little bit on zoning, whenever you want that.
Okay.
Okay, and the sheriff is out today. Chief is a little under the weather, so he asked if we needed anything. He's across the street if we do, but Road and Bridge, Mr. Dorn? Ms. Axby, which I'll let you guys fight it out.
Go ahead.
Oh. Fight out who doesn't do it. We're going to be opening bids for culverts. We had two utility permits. Dirt crew has worked on taking the log jams out on the bus bridge, rip wrap placement, hauled rock. Mark talked to the state about adding some extra signage for Hickory from the north and the south, and also talked about a turn lane. We are at 23 out of 24, the 2021 gravel allotments. Are we done? We should be about done, so we should be caught up this week. We are working with Manili Wagner on if they have a plan for the Bus River Bridge, and we're going to try to get an update today. Can we have Mark come up, see where we're at? Mark, where are we at with that bus bridge?
Mark has good news. Whichever is most convenient for you, Mark.
So, speaking with Manili Wagner over since Monday, we were able to get some preliminary plans.
In 2 days.
So, I also got a load rating that it will come, but it all depends on if they're stud welded on the structure members, how it loads out. So it could, depending on how it's going to, we could need to get out there. What we'll probably do is I'm probably going to have the surveyors come down, survey the center points of where these new pile are going to go. Then we'll start cutting those holes, at least one, and then dig it over or cut a little further over into the structural member to see if there are any welded studs on that, because that will determine your load rating on that. So, I do have preliminary plans, as I said, look pretty decent. I've got a rough cost estimate and a rough time frame, just depending on how things go.
Is that a secret?
No. What do you want to know?
Without knowing, I mean, Mark's going to talk to Roger to see if we need to put this out for bid since it's a repair. Without knowing that yet, maybe we could keep the cost to yourself. That came in a little better than I think we would have anticipated. Time frame, though, do you want to elaborate on that?
October, late October, November is what, if things go well.
Wow. This year?
This year.
What was it 22 or 21 that we started looking at this?
It was 22.
It was last year harvest.
That's for design only.
No, that's great. That was good news, though.
Yeah, replace it.
And then you have some updates also, but we'll wait until the HOA is talking just so that you can kind of fill them in on what you found out for that as well.
Kind of amazing what can happen in a couple of days, huh?
I hate to say it. Sometimes the fire needs to be lit under myself, too.
If that's what it takes.
Sometimes.
That's what it takes.
Hopefully
sometimes
it's not all the time.
Do that. Okay, so. Yeah, that's great.
Anything else? And I do have copies if you guys want to see the preliminary plans.
Thank you, Mark. With that, we will invite Senator Dorn to give us a legislative update. I appreciate he came instead of sending someone like Jared Reimers or someone, and he's going to spend time with us here. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak. And too bad, or I apologize for not being here when you guys voted on the Beatrice 6 and that part of your budget. And that's why I asked Roger and some others, too, if I couldn't come and talk a little bit about that. The process we went through the last several weeks or months, thinking of a lot of things. And when Doug Kennedy sat down beside me this morning, I remember the first year I came on the board and Terry and I had a conversation about this shouldn't be that long. Well, that's 12 years ago. And that very first year, Rex Adams, Matt Bauman, and I were taking a tour of the county roads to see what some of them were like. Who calls but Doug? And we had just been dismissed the first time. Judge Kopp had thrown us out of the case the first time. And I always remember Rex and Matt and their comments, but Rex turns around and hands the phone to me and says, I think Doug would like to talk to you, Myron. And I always remember that or whatever. But no, it's been a long process. So thankful that we're to the stage we're at, that all of the, I call it the legal process, and now all the payment process has finally come to a point where we can see an end. I've had numerous senators reach out to me or visit with me and comment on the fact that, wow, you have done this in this amount of time. Wanted to put a little bit in perspective. You know, I know Terry's talked about this process. When we started, we were looking at 8+ years. Of payment 100% by property taxes. To put that a little bit in perspective, at that time, 4 years ago, an average dry land corridor of farm ground, and I'm using some estimates here, Eddie, I would put it at roughly $4,000 an acre, give or take a little. You know, farmland then is based on 75% evaluation, so that's about $3,000 per acre. Quarter section of ground, 160 acres, that's 480,000 valuation. A 10 cent levy, which when we started this, we were over 10 cents. We were almost 11 cents. But a 10 cent levy meant $480 a year in taxes. By ending this 4 years sooner, you take that $480 or $500 a year in property taxes, that person that owns an average dry land corridor in Gage County is saving almost $2,000 in property taxes on that farm. So I commend all of you. I commend a lot of the things that happen here. I know I've commented in one of the papers all of the work that Don's put in this. My guys, remember her and I when we went up and talked to Joel Nelson and Joe Bacon at Keating O'Gara, and you brought all those boxes, and we walked in there, and I go, boy, this is really going to go good. When they look at the set of the amount of boxes, they're going to go, that's too much. But really thank them for what they did, that through this whole process, we were always, always, always told we had no insurance. And to come out of that and have that amount of a claim, that's just amazing. The sales tax, part of where this all came about, or reached out to Eric, I don't remember, in May or June, and said, I want to come talk about the Beatrice 6 and where you're at or whatever. And when I sat down in that meeting with Eric and Don, and they were looking at, well, we're going to maybe end this sooner, and we may not need the full amount of 10 cents of levy, I go, you got to be kidding me. I just could not believe it, that this is going to be done as soon as it is. I think that's tremendous news, not only for the people, the six defendants in this, the Beatrice 6, but it's great news for the county, it's great news for the county property taxpayers, and it's great news that we finally, as a county, can close this part of that chapter and put this behind us. I think that will have a mental aspect of that most of us won't be aware of. But that fact that it's off of our shoulders, that this is taken care of, when you think of the fact that this happened in the 80s, 1985 was the so-called death of Helen Wilson, that's almost 40 years ago. And to have that as part of what this board has gone through, I remember when last few years I was on the board and we had all the, I call it special meetings, and I remember a couple of times walking out when we had a special meeting, closed door, and out in the hallway yet was Scott there, sitting there a few times, and I even apologized to him one time. I think we had four or five meetings in a row we had a closed meeting because of what all of the decisions were being made. And so thankful that this is where it's at, so thankful that the county, with help from the state, appreciate that. I've been thanking some of the senators for passing some of those bills. Sales tax, when we passed that, if you would have told me that was going to be that amount of money, I think they were estimating it to be a lot less. But that, I think in the paper you had somewhere over $5 million, maybe up to $5.5 million.
4.7 the last I looked, but we're getting some more deposits.
By the time it's done in January and we collect everything, it will be over $5 million of sales tax receipts. That is also tremendous to help pay this off. Can't say enough for what the county board, through all those years, through the last few years, how you guys have helped manage this, because without managing this and doing this right, but it's also important for the Beatrice Six that, you know, they know that this judgment was coming. When or how are they going to be paid? To get them this money, those 4 years quicker, that has to be a good thing for them also. So thank you guys for what you all did. Thank you, Roger, for what you did, visiting with all the attorneys and giving us legal advice, because some of those weren't easy answers. And some of the answers you gave us, we didn't like, but but they were a lot of difficult decisions. So I just think for the county, it's so exciting to be looking at this and knowing that this will be the last year of some type of payment. And by this time next year when we sit here, hopefully this will all be paid off. And, yes, knock on wood and everything, and that it is in behind us, so we can close this part of this. Remember all the discussions financially, what we had, and all the discussions financially, what it was going to do to the county and how it may put an additional, I call it, burden on them, and how we had to be careful about doing something may create something else. And those weren't some easy discussions, a lot of meetings, but thank you guys for all your work and all your time you put on it. Thank everyone. So if you want a little more legislative update, I can give that too. But I came today to Emily visit with me, and I said, no, I want to come and talk and express how excited I am that we are finally at this stage. So thank you.
Questions, comments, Mr. Dorn?
I just want to say, as a freshman senator, getting all those done was extraordinary, and it really helped out here. And again, thank you to you and then the previous board that was here before us, because I mean, I've only been here a year and a half, and yeah, a lot of it was already worked through, and there was a lot of time spent on it and a lot of unfounded criticism towards, you know, the process, but there wasn't much they could do about it. They did everything they could, and you helped out a lot. So,
yeah. Senator Dorn, I want to say thank you too. The amount of time when you were on the board that you and Don put in, you and Roger, I mean, it was, no one will ever know the amount of time that actually went into this, let alone once you did go on to Lincoln. There were some of those things that you had talked about, hey, maybe this would work. Great idea, but didn't seem real realistic, I guess, even as you were talking to people. It seemed like some of these were a long shot, but to get two bills put through like that. The county's very lucky to have you up in Lincoln as our representative. The relationships you've made, the respect you've gained among your peers up there, it shows. We're very proud of you, and we're very thankful for you up there in Lincoln. I do want to thank Don, too. Behind the scenes, Myron knows this firsthand, the amount of time that the clerk's office does put in on not just an item like this, but on all of our ideas we come up with as well. It usually comes down to the clerk's office. Sometimes she's really impressed with some of the work that we shove her way, but she still does it and keeps everything above board for us, just like when we were talking in June, Senator Dorn came again to say, hey, what can I do for you guys? How can we work this out a little quicker? And when we did look at the numbers, we were all pleasantly surprised, but his office still worked back and forth with the county to help us figure out how is the sales tax going to roll back? How can we move our tax asking to make this work in arrears with the new taxes coming out for another year? Senator Dorn's office worked back and forth with the clerk's office, and I know we're very helpful as you were digging through things, but great success. Thank you for your time here. Thank you for your time so far in Lincoln, and we're looking forward to another 4 years of what you're going to do in Lincoln also.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to thank you for walking with me through a lot of that we had to go through, and also the scary time of whether we were going to face bankruptcy or not, and to what detriment it was going to do to the county or how we had to manage this to keep the county going. So your insight and your knowledge was valuable. I mean, yeah, so.
Well, I do, too. Now that you bring up that Jim Overcation, we hired him as having discussions for a bankruptcy. There's not too many counties when we found out that it ever had those type of discussions or thought about that as a possibility. And yet he ended up being, I call it, the attorney that kind of helped bring this all together at the end.
Yes, he did.
So I said that was amazing, too, and thank him for all his work and also the attorneys that went through all of this and stuff with us. So it's a good feeling to know that we're to a point where we can see the end. That's a great feeling, but so thankful, so glad to have that happen, and we'll move on and better days ahead. So,
Myron, thank you for what you've done. And I know it was a lot of hard work and some persuasiveness to get the state to help us. But I also want to thank Senator Roy Baker for submitting the first bill and having it prepared for you when you got into office to submit at that time.
Yep. Yes. And Senator Baker was up there when, I don't remember if he had a year left or 2 years left. I don't remember when the first year that we submitted, or the county had submitted some bills to see if there was possibility of some type of help from the state.
Right.
But Senator Baker was in this office for District 30 at that time.
Right.
And thank you for bringing him up. Yes, thank you. And thank him.
Both of you deserve credit for you picked up the ball and run with it. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. So we'll see everybody. I hear you guys have a great thing to vote on later. So congratulations.
Thank you, Myron. Whispering Pines HOA, they're going to be in somewhere around 10 to talk about paving. We're going to have some recesses today with timed events. We will skip ahead to receiving planning and zoning recommendation on the zoning regulations from Lisa, our planning and zoning coordinator.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I'm going to start with solar regulations first. The P&Z met last Tuesday night, and so they were able to come up, make a motion, and are recommending the solar regulations for your review. They've taken the time to, you know, go through, add the classifications with three classifications. And so, but they, just to make you aware, their hearing is set for December 6th at 5 o'clock. So hopefully this gives the public and also you as Board of Supervisors time to do your research, too, and for public opinion. So December 6th is the hearing for P&Z. And it's a 5 o'clock hearing, so with that 5 o'clock hearing here in this room. So, and then I would just, those regulations are available at our office. They'll be available at the clerk's office, and then I believe Dawn was going to put them on our website, too.
They're on.
Great. So ready now. So,
Will that be in the planning and zoning book then, too?
It will eventually when they're approved, yes. Yep, when they're approved. So I'm going to move on to what you are going to have a hearing for at 9:30, I believe. JEO, along with Scott Skibaka, will be here from Lower Big Blue NRD. And you have a preliminary outline as far as what the proposed recommendations are. And basically, these are recommendations. They're updates in our regulations to update the firm map to the most current available version. And then also, as funding has become available through the disaster of the 2019 disaster for Nebraska, and funding for NRDs to be able to do studies and so forth, they are working on studying the breach areas along those project areas. And in our case, in Gage County, it would be the Little Indian project that has come up, where they are able to, JEO took that project on under the direction of Lower Big Blue. And by using LIDAR technology, really looking at current status of those project areas. And so as far as what changes for the review process, Mark and I, still nothing changes in terms of how we review an application that comes in, but it does allow, by us adding that into the regulations in each one of the A1, 2, 3, and 4, it allows us to utilize that breach map, the most recent breach maps that are available. I will share with you that last week the Nemaha District started their first kickoff meetings for their project on the Big Nemaha, and then also the South Fork Watershed. So more of these projects are becoming available. So that will give us, you know, updated maps for us to use. So we had no opposition at our hearing. Nothing was heard during the hearing process, and it passed unanimously. So not sure if Mark wants to cover anything as floodplain administrator, but, yeah. So
we also have a request. I can't remember who the request is from, for naming of a unnamed flowway there. We had a recommendation to name it Little Mission Creek. I think I will forward that over to the planning and zoning just for a review. It's
from a private individual that wants to rename?
No, it's an unnamed. I believe it's from. I will find it and I'll get it
down
to you.
Sounds good.
Here's an easy trick to start a conversation with anyone without being creepy or uncomfortable. Those guys use a cheesy pickup line, which never works.
I wonder if I should look at this.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so I know that JEO will also be attending here shortly for the hearing at 9:30, and also Lower Big Blue. So please ask them questions. I mean, they have the they have studied the high hazard dams, what they've considered the dams, and the rehab projects and so forth. So, but that's not what this change in our zoning is about. It's just, you know, adding most current regulation updates and then using those maps. So, not any rehab. So, that's all I have.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep.
Door in the window. I don't know.
Oh, they gathered everything. We have a timed event at 9:30. We don't have Lowell here yet, so we've got. There's going to be some recesses: a 9:30, a 9:45, and a 10. It's 9:19 right now. We will recess until 9:29 on the clock.
Ballot.
Yeah.
Are you ready? We will reconvene at 9:30. There's a sign-up sheet on the table to my right. For anyone that wants to speak in support or opposition during the public hearing, I would ask for a motion to go into public hearing to hear support and or opposition from the public and the recommendation from Planning and Zoning Commission on the addition to the Gage County Zoning Regulations to include the Lower Big Blue and Nemaha Natural Resource District Dam Breach Hazard Maps, number 1 and 5.18, 5.28, 5.39, and 5.48, and to update the flood insurance rate map firm map to the 2010 version.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn to go into public hearing at 9:30. Please vote. 5 in favor. We're in public hearing. There is a sign-up sheet to my right. I guess I'll start off with planning and zoning, and we'll receive our recommendation. Or JEO will give the
presentation. Yes, good morning. Jeff Ray with JEO Consulting Group.
I'll swear you in first since we're in public hearing. Will you please give your name and address for the record?
Sure. Jeff Ray, 11213 Davenport Street, Omaha, Nebraska.
Will you please raise your right hand, sir? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. We had the opportunity to work with the NRD and work with Lisa on the floodplain management. So I believe you've already had a little bit of a presentation on what's going on. What we're doing is adding a little bit extra to the floodplain management, and through the use of newer technologies with LIDAR data and what's available, we're able to get a little bit more accurate picture of what's actually going on, where water would potentially go in floodplain for floodplain mitigation, as well as if there were a major breach of any of the dam structures. So what we have done in working with the NRD, and this is only through the Indian Creek watershed, we have not done the entire county, is look at through a computer model that if the dam that was there today was removed instantaneously, and we realize that it won't actually happen that way, but that's the worst case scenario through a computer model, where does that water go? What does it affect? What is downstream? Obviously, it goes to the lower locations. So there's a whole series of maps that have been created to help the administrators keep people out of harm's way, keep structures out of harm's way. Those maps are then being utilized to hopefully make a better situation. And that's what's being added to your zoning regulations or being asked to be added to your zoning regulations today. It's very similar in many cases to your existing floodplain area. Sometimes it's just mere feet from where it changes. And obviously, if you're closer to the dam, the level of water is higher, and the further you get away from where that dam breach would go, it tapers out and goes down. I apologize. I don't have much of a voice. I'm better than I was on Sunday, but I left most of it at Memorial Stadium in vain. So I will try to answer the questions as best as possible. I think working with the NRD and then working with Lisa, we've come up with a good solution to give her a really good tool to better regulate this particular area. With that, I can take any questions that you may have for us.
That was not a lot of questions there for you. Lisa, do you have anything else for us?
I don't have much other than our common practice whenever I have an application that comes in whatever area, depending upon the structure. If it's in a firm map area or flood insurance rate area that is of concern, our policy is to divert to floodplain administrator, which is Mark, and in that case, he goes down, takes a look at that position. In fact, I just handed him off two areas the last couple days. And so everything is determined at that point, what he has to do, whether order a BFE, baseline flood elevation, or then start working with the applicant for mitigating whatever needs to be done in that location to get it a foot up above the one-foot mark. In most cases, it's a certification of elevation ordered, correct? So it gives us another opportunity to have resources that we need. So,
any questions for Lisa? Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Schuler.
Just so that I understand this correctly, if they're a foot above the floodplain elevation for the breached dam, does that prevent you from having to have a high hazard dam qualification or standard specs?
Yeah, that is correct. So one of the intentions here is looking forward to the future, is having to create and avoiding a high hazard dam situation. High hazard dams are exponentially more expensive than your low hazard dams. So it's better for the NRD for you to maintain those that way. If somebody was going to build a new one or you're going back to rebuild and there were a house that's down there, could now put it in that high hazard dam category and potentially maybe even jeopardize whether or not that structure could even be rebuilt.
Okay. In a breached dam situation, there's tremendous force with that water as opposed to floodplain, like a river flooding, unless you're right next to it. Is that considered? I mean, is the foot going to protect that home from or building?
Yeah, so that's at the proximity to the dam, there's more force there, right, obviously, right. And then it dissipates out. So all of that is considered in the computer model when they do that. When the engineers put all that. I'm a planner, not an engineer, so I can speak to most of how they do that. But, yeah, that the force that's in there, and that's all looked at in the level of all of that. And I don't believe that there are any that are that close that would be of concern to us at this
point. New construction that could be that close, is it possible that new construction wouldn't be allowed at all?
It would be allowed. It would just have to be 1 foot above. And through this tool, it's really kind of a public education process as too. So I would think that if the applicant really wants to build in there and they're really insistent on doing it, they can do it. And then just through building high enough and then putting in even some dirt berms, they can divert that water. So it wouldn't be a hazard to their structure or to their lives.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Scott, do you have anything for us additionally?
No. Nothing more to add.
Anything else for Mr. Ray? There is a sign-up sheet on the table to my right. Would anyone like to come up and speak in support or opposition? Last chance. Anything else from the board? If not, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:38.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Schuler, second by Swavely. Come out at 9:38. Please vote. 5 in favor. We are back in regular session. We have a timed event at 9:45. Timed event at 10 o'clock, and then a couple discussion items to follow. So we will recess again at 9:39 and come back at 9:45. Are you on?
Yep.
We will reconvene at 9:45. If there are any bids for Project C-34-1133, I'd ask them to be turned in at this time. Any bids in the audience? If not, I would ask for a motion to close bids for Project C-34-1133 at 9:45.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Eddie, do you and Dave want to take care of these? Is that me?
Okay, so make sure... Who's going to open them? Eddie, you said?
Eddie and Dave. Do you need a letter opener?
Thank you.
Maybe just let us know if there's a bond, and then company name and total dollar amount, I suppose.
This is from General Excavating. You want just the total amount?
And they do have a bid on?
I believe so, yeah.
The project total is $526,755.44. The project will be awarded based on the total for project. And the bond. American Mutual Insurance Company. This one's from Our Infrastructure, LLC. Total for project, $451,634.50.
Mr. Dorn, when was the start date on these?
On the first one?
And this one.
On the first one with GE, start date is October 22. End of construction would be the end of November, 11/29/22.
On this one's start date of construction is March 1, 2023. End of construction, April 30th, 2023. This one from Gus Construction Company, Inc. Total for project is $411,974.64. Start date is 10/12/22. End of construction, 12/1/22.
That's the bid bond.
And the bond is Employees Mutual Casualty Company.
Next one. Bid bonds here. So.
From Van Kirk Brothers Contracting. Total for project, $522,568. Start date, summer of 2023. End of construction, summer of 2023. And the bond is Universal Surety Company. That's all the bids.
With that, I would ask for a motion to One moment, quick.
Make sure.
that's all the bids for that project. We generally turn these over to Mark and Mark to review and then come back with a recommendation for us at, if you can get through them today, otherwise at our next regularly scheduled board meeting. The apparent low would be Guest Construction at $411,974.64. I guess I could read through the prices one more time. GE, $526,755.44. Bauer Infrastructure, $451,631.51. Guest Construction, $411,974.64. And Van Kirk Brothers at $522,568. We'll have Mr. Kunke and Mr. Minnelli and Becky review these for accuracy and any irregularities and come back with a recommendation for us.
We'd like to have the recommendation done today.
Done today if possible? All right.
Get to work.
We have another timed event at 10 o'clock, so it is 9:53 on our clock here. We will recess until 10 o'clock. We will reconvene at 10 o'clock. Are there any other bids in the audience for Project C-34, 1156, 1187, 1188, or 1235? If not, I would ask for a motion to close bidding at 10 o'clock for aforesaid projects.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Please vote.
Swavely.
Swavely? Doggone it. Second by Swavely.
It don't matter. It's done, right?
Please vote. Five in favor. Bidding is closed.
I have to get you some hearing aids.
I got it from the right side, at least.
Jeez. I got one.
Yeah.
She gave me one.
What happened to one I had?
Oh, I take it.
Eddie, give me that back. I'm not giving it to you.
Contact Engineer Solutions, LLC. Total for the project, well, you want these individual, right?
I think you can give us a... Give them to us individually, Eddie. We'll just
for C-34, $1,156, $39,745.
What was that number again?
$39,745. For C-34, $1,187, $47,650. C-34, $1,188. $28,732. C-34, $1,235. $39,594. Total for project, $155,721. Delivery date for C-34, 1156 is 11 to 13 weeks after drawing approval. For 1187, 12 to 14 weeks after drawing approval. 1188, 13 to 15 weeks after drawing approval. 1235, 14 to 16 weeks after drawing approval. And they are... They do have a bond.
I'll open up.
For C-30, this is Metal Culverts Incorporated. For C-34-1156, $54,999.50. C-34-1187, $62,068. C-34-1188, $34,949.60. C-34-1235, $54,258.10. Total for project, $206,275.20. Delivery date for 1156 is 12 to 14 weeks after approval. For 1187, 13 to 15 weeks after approval. 1188, 14 to 16 weeks after approval. 1235, 15 to 17 weeks after approval. And yes, they are bonded.
Mark, before they open this next one, would you, is C-34-1133, is that the box on Pickerel East? That'd be the one that'd be within the first half mile off the Adams Philly blacktop, somewhere down on the bottom there. Can you give us a location? I was just going to look this up in the 1 and 5, but a location on these other projects quick.
Bear with me.
And I'll have him keep reading the bids, but if you could just give us a rough location on each of those. Go ahead, Eddie.
This is from Ace Eaton Metals. C-34-1156, $49,080. C-34-1187, $55,110. C-34-1188, $32,560. C-34-1235, $46,215. Total for project, $182,965. Delivery date for 1156 is 8 to 12 weeks. 1187, 10 to 18 weeks. 1188, 12 to 20 weeks. 1235, 14 to 22 weeks. And they are bonded. Midwest Service and
Midwest Service and Sales.
Sales.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
C-34-1156, $57,065.21. C-34-1187, $70,286.90. C-34-1188, $41,461.44. C-34-1235, $61,564.62, for a total of the project, $230,378.17. Delivery date, 1156, is February 2023, 1187, 12-21-22, 1188, 12-7-22, 12-35, March of 23. And they are bonded.
Is that it?
Yep.
So and that is all.
Mark, how'd you do on locations?
All right, job number 1156. That is on South 25th Road, just south of the Christ Lutheran Church, between Cherry and Chestnut. That is a blacktop road, so that one will be taken out that bridge. Job number 1187. That is just east of South 94th on Maple. That is taking out a small bridge structure that would help a lot of agricultural farmers around that area having a nice wider, lower, heavier area to bring equipment through. Job number 1188 is on Sargent Road, roughly at the intersection of 103rd Road. It's another box culvert. It's a different structure. A box slash kind of a bridge structure leading into a small detention pond there towards the south. And 1235 is on Hackberry, just west of South 80th Road, taking out another bridge structure there.
I guess I would recommend we give these over to Mark for review and recommendation later in the meeting if he gets to it. Do you have a recommendation for?
I have a recommendation for the box culvert on East Pickle Road.
All right.
With us reviewing it, we would like to proceed with Gus Construction.
And that's for a dollar amount of $411,974.64.
Correct.
I would ask for a motion, Mr. Swavely.
The only thing is, that's not a familiar name, okay? I mean, is it somebody that's from around here?
They are from Iowa.
Gus has done a lot of work for us there.
Pardon?
Gus is a very fine firm.
Okay, that's fine. That's all I want to know.
They all are, but Gus does a lot.
Yeah, I know. I've recognized the names on the others, but I never recognize that name.
They normally don't come this far west, but they do a lot of work for the eastern county.
Okay, fine.
We have a motion by Dorn,
second
by Swavely, to award project C-34-1133 to Gus Construction in the amount of $411,974.64. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Mr. Conkey, if you would review these, we have a couple other discussion items. I don't think we'll be leaving anytime soon. Mr. Lytle?
In the HOA conversation, aren't you going to want Mark in here?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You might have to sit tight. Can Mr. Minnelli review these with Becky?
You're capable.
Thank you to all the bidders. A lot of good bids on the box as well as the culverts.
You don't do concrete box?
I'm sorry?
You don't do concrete box?
No, but thanks for asking. Whispering Pines HOA had asked for discussion on future paving projects on Lilac Road from Highway 77 to South 13th. Do you have a representative that would like to come up and speak?
Yeah.
Mr. Zollner?
Yeah.
Would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Yeah, Jason Zollner, 1319 West Lilac Road. Anyway, thanks for having us this morning. As our little community out there is beginning to develop, we've got 15 lots sold now, and I think there's no others left to be sold. No, actually, there's one left. When I took my lot and built my house on it prior to that, we had taxable value to the county of like $157, I think, the plot of land was. Now, you know, it's up to around $7,500 with improvements. So we were thinking that maybe with the taxable dollars that we've all built houses on and we're generating some revenue for the county, that maybe we could be in a plan or what it looked like to pave our road out there to the county. And I'd ask some advice from you, Eric, one day, I guess, Is that in the county or not? We're all not sure, and I just wanted to take a get some advice from you guys on how to go about doing that.
So we talked about this Monday, and I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, the county road came up Lilac and then turned on 13th and went into, or right next to the country club there. We swapped that out with Riverside Township, so the road now in front of your house, Lilac from 77 in, that's county. 13th Road went to Riverside Township, so it was just a swap for a swap. Made sense, heavier traffic there. So that was widened out, reworked a little bit. We asked Mr. Kunkey to look at how that would look to pave that, or different methods that we could use to pave that road. And, Mark, do you want to kind of go over the couple options that
so
you...
So the couple options that I did find, and speaking with Mr. Minnelli, one was performing a paving district. The drawback with that would it is Thank the you. Paving district would be only considered with the people with the frontal property frontage on that road. So everybody that was in that subdivision would not be a part of that section. And then you would have to have 51% of the vote of everybody that has frontal property along that road to make it a paving district. And then the county would... I believe it was a levy for the cost of it, and then everything would be assessed to your guys' taxes along that stretch if anybody had frontage property along there. Granted, there is one person that owns quite a bit of property on the north and south, so if that person would decline, it would shut the whole system, the whole process down. The other option would be for the HOA down in there to actually come up with the money up front and then donate it to the county and pay for all the costs on that. With the donations, it would be a tax deductible, so on and so forth. So those would be the two options. Without digging further into it, those are the two options that I kind of just got a chance to take a look at.
And really rough numbers, did that bridge need to be updated? Is that bridge okay the way it is?
I have not had a chance to even look at it, but... If we're going to create a new paved road, that bridge would have to somehow be either a new bridge, a new culvert, a new box culvert, some way per state regulations.
Before paving, or could it come later on down the road?
I would personally like to have it done prior to paving, especially if it's sized for a box or a culvert, because...
With new construction, so on the old county roads, if we do maintenance on them, the rules are, is it the three R's? Three R rulings. We're really limited on what we can do. It is maintenance only. On new construction, you actually have to meet all the current specs. So the shoulders would have to be proper width, proper slope. The road would have to be actual road width, which I think is 24 feet on paving for county. Technically, that would be a 55-mile-an-hour road instead of a 50-mile-an-hour road, so that bottom would have to be filled. There's a little bit more that goes with it that we're required to do. Really rough numbers without bridge work, I'm guessing that's somewhere probably in a four to six. Yeah, somewhere in there, $100,000 without a structure. Paving districts would be the easiest way to do it. That would be similar to what's done in, say, in Beatrice or in town if there's a stretch of road. But like Mark said, that would affect, I think it's Dorothy Mintz, Hooses,
Lineweber, and then
Lineweber, Zollner, Wilnard, and then I think there's some commons property there possibly with the HOA. That's not going to probably be the most feasible route. As far as the other, were you thinking of forming a fund or the HOA trying to pave this?
We were trying to offset
it with tax dollars?
Yes, you know, it just came up in our HOA meeting. And wouldn't it be nice if, how do we go about that? You know, those kind of open-ended questions we kind of thought we'd come and just, there's people in the audience that are all landowners out there too that are just asking your guys' advice and people advice what to do here. We you know, desire to have that done, and I don't know if it's a you know, there's in my past I've lived out in a rural outside of town much like this in another district in another county, and there was like some ways that they got creative to for growth in that county. And like farm-to-market type roads, you know, maybe there's some funds that are available for things like that. You guys know all about that. These are just words that I've learned over the years. And just to help, I would say, you know, growth-wise, it seems it's there's lots of lots for sale out there, you know, and I know that's revenue for the county. And I think that was the more of our angle of approach, that maybe the county could help us with the extra revenues, that maybe we could participate as well with it. Maybe if we paid part and then the county allocated part two for the additional revenues over time, because I don't think our tax base is going to go down once we improve all those lots, right?
And I'm really interested in this as well. We have other developments around the county. Some of the developments have a lot of traffic. You know, some of those developments are getting to be pretty large.
Yeah.
And they're difficult to maintain those roads. You have more people moving out there, obviously more use on the roads. If we can find a mechanism to make something work, just like you're saying, our growth is going to be, our housing growth, I really think, is going to be Northern Gauge. If we can find ways to make that adjacent land to a paved road more valuable, there's going to be more development, there will be more housing, more developments. We would like to find a way to make something work also. Whether that's grant funding, participation from residents.
I've hearsay, not fact, but I've spoke just lightly with a couple other people that, you know, from the golf course there, and I don't know if, you know, I know sometimes with city and county, sometimes that's always an issue, but it seems like there's some land there south of the shed of the golf course, that road that's unimproved there. And then from that T there at the top of Whispering Pines where you enter just straight south of the golf course and then west on Anthony Schoen lives out there, the last hole of the golf course. Seems like that whole area there, I don't know if that's county or city, I'm not sure of. But if there was, you know, a collaboration, you know, for growth, it seems like that seems to be the newest construction in Beatrice, not necessarily the county. But, it reminds me of South Lincoln. You know, all of a sudden, roads are getting paved, houses are getting built. And I think we could be that way ourselves.
And that one, we talked about that Monday. There have been, in the last couple of years, two development plans on that piece of ground. The easiest way is when there's a new piece developed like that to TIF those roads in. A couple examples of that would be 134th Road that goes to the ethanol plant, or where the new turkey hatchery is in the industrial park. I don't remember what road that is, but that road was TIFed with original construction. That makes it a little easier because it's part of the initial project, part of the development right away. This one, which there are multiple developments like Whispering Pines, which is a great development for our area, it's doing it after the fact. It makes it a little more difficult, but there's got to be a way.
It was interesting when I called just on the history of just my little two pieces of land that I have there and asked the tax base, and they said, well, the developer got a half tax because, you know, they were the developer. And then when you buy it, then that doubles the value. And I thought, okay, that's fair. And then when you improve it, you know, then you have the improvement, that value. And so I thought, geez, that's, like $7,500 more per year just for me times 15 times 30 years. That just seems like a lot. And then of all those other developments, because it seems like there's lots for sale in that next mile, you know, just as many or more, you know.
But the $7,500 is probably the actual tax you pay.
Yeah, that's what,
The bad thing is to the county, there's probably only going to be about, I don't know the actual number. We're going to be somewhere So you're probably about 205-ish, somewhere in that area. We're going to be approximately a quarter of that.
Oh, okay.
The majority of that's going to go to the school. You're in the Beatrice School District, so a large portion of that. People see the tax dollars and they think it's county.
Yeah.
If you go through the statement, the county's only taking a
portion of that.
A piece of that. Yeah. So the dollars dwindle down very quickly compared to what you're actually paying, Ms. Axby.
I get the concept with the paving and getting growth, but if we're talking about just subdivisions, there's some all over the county. How do you do that with every county? And I mean, I live out on a gravel road, and I mean, there's a lot of people live out on gravel roads, and we're just don't expect it to be because that's where we chose to live when we moved there.
So, we're like across the street from the city, and you know, just for the growth of the community, it was I think the collaboration here, everybody's thoughts, not necessarily 5 miles out on a gravel road, but we're literally across the street from the city limits, so. And we're in some halo, I guess it's called. So we're in the city.
Where there's a, what is it, all those subdivisions off of Apple Road, that'd be another mile of pavement to hit those subdivisions. But, I mean, we have that multiple places. There's Deer Haven, that's a mile off 41.
My contention is there's just nothing wrong with growth.
With the TIF, so the way TIF tax increment financing works, and that's where I say it's a lot easier initially, that actually does look at, so before you improve the property, your lot's worth $20,000 probably, I'm guessing out there. So you take a $20,000 value, and then say your valuation after you build is, for easy math, $100,000. That difference that you're paying in the $20,000 to the $100,000, regardless of whether it's to the schools, the county, anyone, anything that you would be paying, that total dollar amount, that can all be used for roads, infrastructure, everything. So even though you're paying your taxes, instead of all that money going to the school or the county or the city or anyone, you take that entire difference from the base elevation to the improved, that can all be used for infrastructure. So General Ag's piece of property on the corner northeast of that intersection on the T, if they would TIF that, tax increment finance it, when they do the development, they could pave those roads, they could put roads within the development, they could use it on other connecting roads. It's really easy and clean that way. I mean, everything's spelled out fairly decent. There's no mechanism that I know of that we can go back and say, okay, now you're paying $7,500 instead of $500. We're going to use that $7,000 for infrastructure improvements after the fact. That I know of. I don't think there is. If there is a mechanism, though, that we can pave to some of these developments, I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to look at this, whether it's grant funding, participation from residents there. If there's anything we can do, I agree with you. We're not getting $100,000 homes built anymore. I mean, an entry-level house is... And I don't even know if you can call it entry level. I mean, just new construction is over 200 almost all the time now. A lot of these developments, we're seeing the 500,000 plus homes. It's great development, and that's what we need.
And I think that, you know, it snowballs. You may have people from in town maybe move out of town but if they had some infrastructure there, that would provoke, you know, a little bit of a housing shortage that we have in town, you know, for out of town too, and open up some of those older entry level homes for other people that are more affordable. It's just it's perpetual, I think. If you start, and don't get me wrong, I think everybody in this room that represents Whispering Pines, they'd be certainly not opposed to, you know, having their values go up because of the road or participate in it. But because of the improvements, they thought perhaps the county, if there's some way, could help with it too. That's the idea.
We'll keep looking at this. Mr. Manelli's here. He serves as a county engineer for us on projects. He works with multiple counties. Just since you're here, Mark, do you know of any mechanisms or any additional funding sources that we could find for some of our developments?
It's going to cost us.
So this is coming up all across the state.
Could you come up to the mic, please, for the record?
Or use that one there.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zollner.
Mark Minnelli, Minnelli Wagner and Associates. This is starting to be pretty commonplace. So what a lot of counties are doing is, Odo County just finished one where for years and years, if you know the road that goes, it's C Road in Odo County, it goes to the golf course right in Odo County, and there was 2 miles that they wanted paved, and there's acreages and subdivisions all along that road. Odo County didn't have the resources, so they, if you look at a paving district, the way those are set up is based on frontage. So if there's ag land along there, my vote is my frontage. So if I own 51% of the ag land along there, and then there's a bunch of houses down here, and this has happened in your county up north on those NRD lakes, I get 51% of the vote. I get 51% of the bill, too, if I voted yes for it. So they never pass, paving district-wise. The way a lot of these are getting solved is communities, subdivisions are coming in, and they're cost-sharing with the county. So they negotiate, well, we can come up with this amount of money. Are you, county, willing to cost-share if we come up with X number of dollars and then get it built? The disadvantage is you don't, the county doesn't finance it like you would with a paving district where it just goes into your taxes. You got to go finance your share. The advantage is you make a donation to the county, you get a tax deduction right away, which is huge. So what a lot of people do is they take their stock and they actually donate their a certain stock to the county that they're going to owe capital gains to, plus they don't pay income tax on that part, plus they get the deduction. Basically, their donation is covered by tax advantage by 65-70%.
Do you work with that, or is that something that...
Yeah, we're the ones that came up with that original concept, and now we're getting individuals paving roads because they realize that...
Can they sell those tax benefits then, or is that just directly to them?
Well, it's whatever they want to do. A lot of them start foundations, and then they donate through the foundation. So there's different ways that you can defer, and then the county gets a donation, and then for that project, and then we do that.
Is there a rate that you've seen working, or like a...
Percentage?
Yeah, percentage.
Well, Platte County has done a couple of these. Matter of fact, we're paving today on one of the first ones they did, and that was a 50-50 deal. And that goes to a lake community that's their only access. And then there's other communities that saw that, and they're coming in saying, hey, I think we can come up with 50%. But they're not paving districts. They're just cash donations to the county.
Well, just looking at that piece of road, when I talked to Mark yesterday, when you have, I mean, there's one landowner, and it's like, well, that's not going to work. And then you start looking along the road, it's like you can pick out who would say yes and who would say no. So that's what I asked him, what other options are there? So in a 50-50, say, who does that flow through then? Does the money flow initially through the county? Does it flow through...
It would go. It would be our project, the county's project. You don't want any private guy building county roads. We don't want them in our right of way. So basically, we do an estimate. We'd agree on the dollar amount. Go through design. Go to letting, and that's the point when they can say, okay, here's our actual dollar amount. Are we in or are we out?
And both parties have the option to say yes or no. And
yeah, I mean, if the bids, you know, 2 years ago they were horrendous, and we're starting to see prices level off and come down. So at that point, you give the group an opportunity. If it comes in twice as high as we thought it was, I mean, they can bail at that point. And that seems to be a pretty common way to do it. Saunders County has all those lake communities down there, and those people have been doing it too. They pony up a percentage. Theirs is a higher percentage, but they're million-dollar homes, so they don't care.
What percentage are they at? Do you
know? Well, the last one we did down there, they paid 100%. But that's because their Ferraris were getting gravel nicks on them and whatever. So it was a little different deal. You know, they reach for their wallets in the board meeting. And so it's you kind of look at the community and who's what and And the, I look at the development, too. Is this going to spur future development along that area, which gives us evaluation, which I think is part of our...
We probably need to look at that, too, if, as we have developments that pop up, what's going to be required, or
right.
do we encourage that strongly in the beginning?
Now, as subdivisions get approved, you know, we've looked at those differently, too, because internal roads, some counties historically would take those roads on, and we highly recommend you don't do that, and the associations own those, and then they can build them at whatever standard they want, so we don't get strapped to it. But in return for that, then maybe we look at the access to increase the access to spur that development. Those are just things that you as a group would have to decide what you can live with.
We have a lot of these developments, though, and it'd be very beneficial to them to have some type of spur. It's just who can they get to participate? Mr. Zollner, is that a little bit of good information or a starting point at least? Because, I mean, we'd obviously have to kind of come up with what the actual costs would be.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for, you know, that's a great resource. That's that because you see it being done all over the, you know, all over the state. So I think that's something for us to consider. And
feel free to talk to Mr. Conkey also, because there's going to be other areas that I'm sure we've talked about what can we do. He's a resource to you. I mean, he can get a hold of Mark if he has questions. Okay. We can come up with some rough estimates there. Roads, one thing. Structures are another item.
Mr. Gunkey's the Department of Roads.
Mr. Gunkey here, yeah. He's with the Highway Department here in Gage County, so he's just on the south side of Beatrice, and, I mean, he's always really good about getting back to us. That structure could add some additional expense on that road, but we are so close to the edge of Beatrice.
And that's a lot of the conflict. We didn't know who to approach, so, you know, if we approach...
We're a lot friendlier than Beatrice, so you came to the right place to start with.
You seem like a good neighbor. Hey, one other thing, too, I guess, out there, just safety-wise, we've noticed since there's so much more traffic with construction, we've got a lot of people entering there and coming out, entering out there. I don't know who does a traffic study out there, but because of that, there's a safety issue over that hill. And the golf course, there's a field there on the corner of the south and coming from West Lilac Road there, heading west. There's no...
Are you talking heading east?
Yeah, no, I'm talking heading west because there's a stop sign heading east right at the entrance. But heading west, there's no stop sign. And if it's a, I heard you say 50-mile-an-hour road, you can't see from the... around that corner if you wanted to turn west. And I didn't know if maybe somebody might look at that just for the sake of I could see perhaps, you know, I've got people that are trying to find me because this is we've just built, and I know that there'll be people trying to find my neighbors here as they are trying to find that development on their maps. And, boy, when you take a right there, it's blind, and I'd hate to see somebody get killed.
It might be something to look at. Those stop signs never changed when the roads changed, when the county roads changed what was what.
But there's only one stop sign going east, and there's not one coming west.
There's a two-way stop there. It's a three-way corner, a T. There's one from the north and one from the going east, but nothing going west.
Just common sense stuff, and I thought I'd throw it out there before somebody got hurt.
But it probably would make sense to look at those. They probably made sense at one time.
Yeah.
And Mark, could you take a look at that? Just see if there is anything we need to review there as far as when the county road changed from making a 90 there to going straight through, it obviously changes the traffic flow didn't really change, but it may change the way the signage needs to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for your time. I may ask if I can ask anybody else from our
district
here that wanted to speak. That's all I had to say. Thank you all. Nice to meet you all, too.
Let me throw one thing out there. Your association needs to get together and by resolution request an estimate to improve the road.
and they're obligated within 30 days to have that study done.
Okay.
But that's what it requires from you is your association to request that.
Okay.
Mark, don't give him too many ideas.
Okay. Send the bill there. Send your bill over there.
Is there anyone else from Whispering Pines that would like to speak or have any questions of the board? All right. Thank you very much. We do appreciate the additional tax base you are bringing. We appreciate the development there. There are a lot of conversations about the developments in Gage County, though. We really do feel that's going to be one of our biggest growths in the northern part of the county is our housing developments. So just like up there, the ones in the Beatrice area, Southern Gage, they're just as important. So you guys have been talked about inadvertently in the north, and we'll keep looking into this. But if you do come up with something like that, it may be a model for what we do in other areas too. Thank you all for coming in. Do you want to recess before? 2 minute recess? We will recess at 10:39 prior to the discussion and approval, disapproval, potential resolution on the county rural broadband project. We'll recess at 10:39 and attempt to adjourn at 10:45.
I'd like to live till noon.
We will reconvene at 10:45 on the clock. Up next is approve or disapprove resolution for Gage County rural broadband project. With that, I think I'll turn this over to Ms. Haxby for discussion. She's really led this up and worked on this from beginning to current phase. So take it away, Ms. Haxby.
So to give a little bit of history, this all started over a year ago. We received about $4.2 million in ARPA funds and decided to invest it in broadband because it would affect the most people, from farmers in the field, people working from home, kids being able to do their homework or remote learning, and more. The impact would be far-reaching: medicine, education, agriculture, businesses, and the list goes on. We put out a request for proposals, received 3 responses, and our committee spent days finding the best one to provide this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to our county. We picked Nextlink, and we started contract negotiations, and it is finally here. I want to start by thanking this board for their patience as we worked through all the fine details of this contract. There was a lot of hard work that went into this and a lot of challenges along the way, and then I did have to take a few days off to have a kid somewhere in there. So while it's easy to rush through to the finish line, it was very important to spend time with the fine details, because with a legal document like this, it has different effects with something as simple as a comma placement or a word change, as we were adjusting this morning. We're trying to get the best for our constituents while staying true to the vision of this project. With that, I really appreciate my fellow supervisors, Eric Thiemann and Eddie Dorn, for their committee involvement to see this project through. It was many extra hours of their time that made this possible. And I know we've gone over this many times, that some of the key parts of this project was there's no throttling, blocking data caps, or paid prioritization. A drop will be placed in the right-of-way to 950 homes within our project area. It will be built out in 2 years. Services go from 100 by 100 for $50 a month up to 2 gig by 2 gig for $100 a month. There are no modem or router fees. There will be a permanent warehouse office in this county. There will be 3 Wi-Fi areas. They participate in the Affordability Connectivity Program, which is for low-income households so that they're able to get a broadband service. The fiber will be buried in conduit, and they will be trying to participate in future funding sources for more of the county. Finally, I would be remiss not to acknowledge individuals that collaborated on this project to make it a success: Lowell Brooks and David Young with Universal Broadband Consulting. They were both awesome to work with. Their years of experience were vital to our project. Oliver with the Southeast Development District has been there from the beginning and supplied us with a wealth of information. And last but not least, Claude Aiken is here from D.C. to be here for our big vote. We've spent a lot of hours on Zoom. It's finally nice to meet him in person. Also, Aaron Clark is here. What's your position?
I'm a regional director for Nebraska and the
Western. Okay, regional director here. And these gentlemen would like to say a few words on the process, how we're doing in broadband development, and then I'd like Claude to come up and kind of tell us what the public should expect if we move forward with this project.
Go ahead and welcome him up, yep.
Lowell, would you?
Here.
Good morning. Please just give us your name and title, I suppose, for the record as everyone comes up.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Lowell Brooks, and I am the president and co-founder of Universal Broadband Consulting, a telecommunications and broadband consulting group out of Lincoln. My partner, David Young, could not be here today. He's still traveling. A few years ago, we formed UBC as a tool to assist public bodies in attracting robust broadband in the rural areas of the state. This project is, I think, one of the most important projects in terms of what it does and why it does what it does that the state has seen. I agree with Ms. Haxby that broadband connectivity is probably the most important economic and community development tool we have in this state, and it's probably the most important tool that we've had in our respective lifetimes. It's no longer a luxury to have great broadband and reliable broadband and speedy and sustainable broadband. It's a necessity. It's a necessity for schools, for education, for telehealth, for economic and community development, for rural agriculture. Precision agriculture is dying for access to broadband to be able to effectively upgrade and use the connectivity world in a real-time basis to help agriculture. It's true for manufacturing. It's true for attracting good people to Beatrice in the Gage County area who can work here and live here where they want to live and do anything they want to worldwide from Gage County and from Beatrice. It is a game changer. This particular project, I think, is particularly important because it is a model of public-private cooperation that is and will be a model for other projects around the state. There are a number of models that we can use in getting things done, but this model combines the resources of the county, the wisdom and knowledge of the county of what its constituents need and want, and the role of the private party, which in this case you'll hear from later, to provide the service under the direction and pursuant to a contract that the county has entered into to ensure that the services it receives are ones that the county wants and needs, and the county has accountability to be sure that those are sustainable through the life of the project. That is critical. Our history is replete with money given out to carriers across the state who've made a lot of promises, and many of them have been kept, and many of them have not been kept through the years. And that's the reason we have a digital divide in this state, because the money that we've invested, we've had no accountability for until recently. So this is a huge step. I will tell you that counties and people across the state are watching this particular project as a potential model for other rural broadband initiatives. We know we've been in contact with many of them. So I think you should feel very proud about the stick-to-itiveness, the tenacity that you've had and this committee's had and Eric's had and Emily has had. She's become an expert in this area in a lot of areas. I think she ought to go to law school, but she's got too many things going on. She's a brilliant person. Eric's been wonderful in leading and guiding and negotiating this contract. We have been delighted and honored to be a part of the consulting of the county for and on behalf of the public entity here, and not the telecommunications carrier, which has a very able counsel who's sitting behind me. So I think you should all congratulate yourselves and this committee for the diligence it's taken to do what I think is an enormously important project for this county and for its citizens and for the state, and I think you'll see it modeled again and again and again as we work to deliver robust, sustainable, and vital fiber optic rural broadband throughout rural Nebraska. It's a huge, huge step, and I am pleased and delighted. David's pleased and delighted that we had a chance to be part of that. So thank you very much, and congratulations on what I think is a remarkable achievement. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your counsel on this.
Oliver?
I'm Oliver Borchers-Williams. I'm with the Southeast Nebraska Development District. Just about exactly a year ago, I first addressed the board to discuss how SEND is becoming involved in the broadband space and how Gage County might be able to use its $4 million of ARPA allocation to make a substantial generational investment in broadband infrastructure throughout the county. And now, 12 months later, I am thrilled to see this finally drawing to a close and potentially becoming approved and starting to get some fiber in the ground. I would just want to echo what Lowell said about the remarkable nature of this project. It will make Gage County one of the most connected counties in the state, and it will make Gage County a leader across the state and likely across the country when it comes to county involvement in public-private partnerships to expand rural broadband. It's truly a momentous project, and I'm honored to have been a part of it. It's hardly fathomable exactly how much it will bring positive benefits to many parts of the county, specifically in northern Gage County, where, as we've discussed earlier in this meeting, there's a substantial amount of growth and development occurring and will likely be occurring in the near future. Having symmetrical 2-gigabit fiber in the ground is a tremendous asset to those developments and a huge draw for many residents and businesses that may be contemplating moving into Gage County. The impacts on precision agriculture, education, telehealth availability, it's truly multidimensional and wide-ranging. And I would like to once again commend the county board, as well as Supervisors Haxby, Tiemann, and Dorn for their work on this project. Thank you.
And then finally, Claude, if you want to come up and tell us what to expect moving forward.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me here, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. It really is exciting to be here. I'm Claude Aiken. I am the Chief Strategy Officer for NextLink Internet, and as Emily mentioned, flown in all the way from D.C. to be here with you today to talk about this very, very exciting project. I think you know, Lowell and Oliver stole a lot of the thunder on what I think this project means for rural Gage County, but I just have to say that I'm excited to be a part of it because rural broadband has always been a passion project for me over the course of the entirety of my career, and I'm really excited to be with a company like NextLink Internet that is looking to partner with the county on this, on a project to provide, as was mentioned, 2-gigabit symmetrical fiber to some of the most rural areas in the county. It's just it's amazing to see, and I'm glad to be with NextLink and as NextLink as a partner for this. Just a little bit about the company and its background. We're a rural-based, rural-focused internet service provider, and a lot of the great work that we do is through public-private partnerships. I think a lot of our rural growth in Nebraska started several years back through a public-private partnership with the FCC through its Connect America Fund project, which required a 6-year build in some extremely rural areas in Nebraska. We're supposed to be 40% done with that by the end of this year. We're ahead of schedule on that, just like we hope to be ahead of schedule on this particular project as well. One of the things that we really do pride ourselves on is providing great connectivity and great customer service, and I think a lot of that's borne out by our 4.8 out of 5-star rating on Google, something, you know, being in the ISP industry, you don't see a lot of that, and we're very proud of that and willing to do whatever it takes to keep that up. So a little bit about the project and what you can be expecting going forward. As was mentioned, the project is focused on the portion of the county north of Beatrice. So we'll likely start just north of Beatrice and work our way northward from there. You'll likely see some NextLink vehicles driving around northern Gage County as we walk the project. That's an important part of doing the advanced surveying before we start building. We have the project, engineered in theory, but when you get on the ground, there's always some little tweaks that you have to make here or there, especially as you're running underground fiber. There can be obstacles that don't appear on the maps or elsewhere. So phase one is walking the entirety of the project. Once that's done and the final engineering is complete, you'll start to see the heavy machinery roll out to deploy the underground conduit. Those are the giant rolls of plastic tubing that you see. Those will be buried underground. I will say we probably will need to take a pause on that during the winter months when it's frozen, because that gets a little difficult. But we'll be back at it again when the ground thaws. Last part of the project is going to be what's called blowing the fiber through that conduit. And once that fiber is there, then we'll be able to run drops to every household throughout the project area. That's kind of it at a high level. And again, like the others mentioned, I would like to thank the board and particularly recognize the broadband committee and the leadership of Supervisor Haxby. I mean, it kind of seemed like it was just hours after she had her child that we were back on the phone again moving this project forward. So I would just like to say thank you for all of your engagement and your leadership on this. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Claude.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Schuler.
Would you elaborate on what will, how it will proceed in the south half of the county and what the plans are there?
They're actually, if you look at the project area, it does dip into the south half of the county already. And we are already looking at other funding sources to continue to do that.
And there will be dedicated wireless?
They have other funding obligations to cover more of the county through RDOF. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Mr. Schuler, in this specific project, there isn't much on the southern part of the county. There are other internet sources and providers and other obligations to NextLink in the southern part of the county. But are you asking on this project specifically?
Well, because as I understood it originally, this was covering the whole county. The north half would be fiber optic.
That's just the fiber. I'm saying, it worked. It was working in parallel, I guess, with their RDOF bids for the fixed wireless in the south half. Thank you.
Aaron,
struggling
would you
through.
Please give
you that wasn't part
your
of
name
our...
and capacity.
Yep. So I'm Aaron Clark. I'm the regional director for NextLink. Live in Lincoln here. So the original proposal included both wireless and fiber optics, and we did show ubiquitous coverage across the county. Early in the process, it was made clear that the county wanted to focus their funds on fiber. They didn't want to fund the wireless parts of the project. So for the purpose of this project, the scope of this project is strictly fiber. So being strictly fiber and a little bit more expensive than the wireless option, that truncated down the coverage area some for the purpose of this project. We do have intents, and we do have other obligations to provide high-speed broadband in a lot more of the county than what this project covers today, but that's outside the scope of this particular contract. So we will be continuing to build south. We will be doing wireless in a lot of those areas, and we will be pursuing other funding opportunities that might allow us to make that fiber instead of wireless if it works out.
So this $4.2 million of ARPA money that we're getting, none of it's being spent in the south half of the county?
It does go south quite a bit. Do you have the
map handy? Yeah, it goes down to
Rockford. It does not cover the
entire. We understood that it was going to be the entire county, and the entire county would get a dedicated wireless that would improve the broadband that we have now.
Dedicated wireless?
Yeah, it was a dedicated frequency.
as I understood it.
We used for our wireless, we do use licensed frequencies, which means it's free from interference. That's, I assume, probably what you're referring to in that comment.
But that isn't going to happen.
I think you're combining two things.
The
fiber, this is only dealing with the fiber. They were obligated to provide internet service wireless with that frequency that you're speaking of through RDOF funding. Is that correct? Through bids and
yeah, awards? What we're committed to with the RDOF, which is a federal program, is a speed and latency threshold in particular areas of coverage. That program is in the process of being awarded. It's been announced. We're still waiting for that program to actually officially start. Your project, originally we proposed coverage for the entire county, including the wireless, and that's what we came in because we could provide service everywhere. However, as the conversations continued, the priority for the county became to focus more on the fiber and not fund any of the wireless part of it, which meant more of the county got fiber instead of wireless, but it means that there's some areas that are not covered as part of this program. So the proposal that we have in front of you does not involve anything wireless, and it does not include coverage of the entirety of the county. NextLink as a company has other obligations and intents to provide service to those areas, but it's no longer part of the grant funding.
That was also due to ARPA, how we had to do it for ARPA. That wasn't...
Along with Mr. Shuler's question, though, what is your intent for the area that's not... that won't have fiber to it south of, say, 136, or the middle of the county south, anywhere that doesn't have fiber by other providers or this project? What is the intent or obligation to NextLink?
So we have the publicly posted RDOF maps that show where that is, and maybe that would be helpful so you can see exactly what falls into that category.
And as you're looking for that, keep in mind, too, Mr. Shuler, we have other providers, too, that already have a footprint. Diode, obviously, is the biggest current footprint in our area to the west of Beatrice and into Beatrice. And I don't understand how all the licensing or the areas work. It's with the communications. But Windstream has... I don't know if jurisdiction's the right word, but there's different areas that it seems to be a telecommunication battle between the different companies, who's allowed to work here, who's providing service, who's not providing service but is supposed to be providing service. But I think in the southern part, you're talking the wireless portion of this where there will be some coverage there where
that's what
faster
was talked
coverage.
About. Yeah, that it was.
I think the RDOF may explain that more.
I think the big difference on that is going to be the timeline, because this grant program has a two-year time frame on it, whereas the RDOF program is a 10-year program with build obligations for essentially 6 years, I believe. But that clock hasn't started on that project yet either. They're still finalizing the release of that. So I'm not sure if that completely answers your question.
Well, I'm not on the committee, so I wasn't aware, or I missed it,
sure,
that was no longer part of this contract.
Yeah.
That the contract is now limited to just fiber in the north half of the county.
That's
what it is, but it's different than what we concurred to do for the south half of the county.
Okay. And Emily has the maps. It actually goes quite a bit south, too. I don't want to give the impression that it's literally just...
Well, maybe I should say the south third of the county then is being left out, or approximately. Whatever. It may not be half.
The far south is in the far north as well.
Yeah, there's corners in the extreme
But the far north has broadband, as I understand it, from another source, say out of Lancaster County, where the south half that's left out has nothing.
Sure.
I mean, other than close to a Windstream telephone office, if you're within that range, or with Diller Diode, which Bill can explain that better than I can. But I know there's areas right now south of Barnston that's had better internet service than they're getting right now. That is something is not as good as it was. There's gotcha. People that are without internet at this time.
Yeah, as utilization increases, if the network's not upgraded to keep up with demand, it certainly starts to feel worse than it was. That's why we're always upgrading equipment. So,
so these people could wait 10 years for this RDOF?
RDOF doesn't cover a lot of the areas that you're discussing, but other programs possibly will. I can't speak to what other funding opportunities will come up other than I can say that we will aggressively pursue any that do to attempt to provide that. I'd love to build fiber to every home in Gage County tomorrow, but I also have to be a business, and at the end of the day, that's very, very expensive without any additional subsidy to make that happen. So,
one of the proposals was on the northern tier of Gage County, just I believe it was the county line just south a little ways. That was from Windstream. It's just a small area. It was, I think the intent was to try to stretch things out as much as possible. There's other funding opportunities coming up. This isn't over. This isn't a one and done. And it's not even a start because there's already been a start. This is a continuation of fiber in the county. I'm hoping that we see additional funding sources where we can do something similar again, you know, whoever the supplier may be, to try to expand that out. It's beneficial to the county as a whole to get this spread everywhere. There's going to be spots in the southern part of the county that are going to be probably fixed wireless or wireless of some sort, I assume, just because of population. Even with subsidizing it, they're going to be out there a little too far potentially. But we want to get the southern part of the county high-speed internet as well.
Was this discussed at a board meeting?
Multiple times.
That the high-speed wireless was going to be left out in the south part of the county? Was it in the minutes?
I'm sure it was pretty early on multiple times.
I don't recall that being a discussion. This is the first I knew of it.
We had printouts and maps and everything here.
And the map showed towers and locations and so forth where the wireless dedicated frequency was going to be applied.
With our ARPA, there was a reason that if somebody can help me with this, we had to focus it on fiber because of how the ARPA funding. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't disagree with that. It's just that it's news to me today that this isn't happening. And my constituents are looking forward to getting service improvements in the next 2 years. And now it isn't going to happen. Because that's what we discussed at this board meeting. And that's what was voted on. And now it isn't going to happen. I find out about it today.
We actually had the areas that were going to be covered, we had those on our desk several times, I know, where this was the area, and it moved a little bit, but not a lot. It's still very similar to what it was. Areas were pulled out that already have fiber to homes.
Sure.
But, I mean, really over the last, I don't know if anything's changed over the last 6 months, really, other than just slight shifting of lines.
There were some minor adjustments as we discovered that other areas were funded for another provider or some other provider had coverage, and certainly the county didn't want to spend money to produce competition as opposed to providing service to those that were underserved. So
okay,
it's definitely a balancing act. The southern part of the county, my understanding, is a lot more challenging from a ground perspective, a lot more rock.
Well, that's why I was going with
– Yeah.
That was the reasoning for going the – Wireless.
Yeah, and initially that is what we proposed. Yeah. So.
Okay, let's move on.
As we've talked about this contract, I really do want to thank Lowell with UBC. The tool you are to a county, this is obviously beyond any of our expertise, so we really appreciate your guidance as well as Oliver's. It let us look at things from a different way. And also gave us some information. We actually in initial bids, we had Windstream, Diode, and Nextlink. And in, you know, each company pursued things in a different manner. Windstream was a small area. Diode was a bigger area. Nextlink was a bigger area yet. In one of our meetings with Diode, I actually asked Lauren, if you're on my side of the table, what do you do in this situation? And he said, well, if that's all going to be put in this contract, that's a no-brainer. We have to kind of look at our providers that we trust, like our local provider Diode, for some advice too. This is tomorrow's technology, I guess, today. We do have to look to the providers and trust the experts on this. Same as on a bridge, we trust our engineer. We have to have some experts to help guide us in this arena as well. But there has been a lot of work put into this, a lot of time. I think a good contract in place. In discussions at SEND, it looks like this contract is going to be used or copied or potentially utilized in other areas as well. And who knows, we might be able to use it even in future contracts as well. Mr. Dorn.
Yeah, I want to thank Mrs. Axby for the time and effort that she put in this. And I think this is a great opportunity for our county, and I was glad to be part of the broadband committee. This is good for the economic growth of our county, and we are already working on other funding sources to try to serve our entire county with a reliable broadband service. And I think it's been a lot of hours by the committee and especially Mrs. Axby.
Thank you very much, Ms. Axby. The time you put in is very, very well appreciated. We don't really have anything for discussion from Ms. Axby.
I was just going to say, do you need a motion to approve?
I do. I was going to say we don't have anything in here, but Randy Sandman's here. I was going to ask if you guys would like to talk about this at all.
I just have a couple questions, perhaps.
No, I wanted to ask if you wanted to say anything. Randy, please come up and give your name and capacity, or you and Lauren. Diode Communications is a trusted service provider in our area, and also we're thankful they were a bidder on this project as well.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. We won't keep you very long at all. Just a couple questions. And you brought up our name in your discussion and Lauren's name especially. But first of all, will that be publicly available since it's an ARPA deal with the county? And how do we?
Any contract we have should be publicly available. So this definitely will be.
There are some restrictions on that as far as trade, you know, anything dealing with customers. And I don't want to, I mean, as you know, from working with this type of technology, we have to defer to them as far as certain aspects of it would not be available.
I'm
probably butchering that, but
well,
it seems that here's a contract.
Yeah,
the
maps are publicly have been part of the deal, and you know, so forth.
Is there any reason we can't provide the area that will be covered?
That's all public. That's all public.
Yeah, I think those already been out.
And
I've seen it.
As soon as we pass it, it'll all be
okay.
And the reason we ask is we are always very concerned about overbuilding. Diller Telephone Diode Communications has invested heavily in the Diller, Odell, Virginia, Holmesville. We've got carriers of projects going from Beatrice all the way to the Gate County line. And as this, we're really concerned about the potential for duplication and wasting of this ARPA money, and that's a problem in our mind. So we just want to make sure. We're also concerned about the language of the contract. We'd like to see the contract such that what role is Gage County going to have in oversight of the project getting done?
Real rough overview on that. The language of the contract, there won't be payments made until the fiber is actually hooked up and operational in phases. And I don't know if you want to be any more specific.
Phases. I'd like Lowell to kind of cover this for us.
Yeah.
Lowell, please come to the mic, too.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, we all have been very thoughtful and careful about the wonderful service that Diode provides and its historic relationship to the county. The funding doesn't allow overbuild of an existing provider. I can tell you that the county and all of the experts have worked very, very hard to be sure that that cannot and has not happened. In fact, there have been movements in some case of some of the lines because it was learned that there was encroachment on those lines. So there is a contractual and legal respect for the notion that there is no funding that's used to overbuild anything that Diode has. Secondly, the contract will be public. I think one of the most important parts of this contract is, in fact, how the county works to oversee the construction of the project, the operation of the project, and the commitment that it will continue to operate the project as we have indicated in the document for the entire life of the document. That's 25 years. That is unprecedented in this state, I can tell you. I've been working in telecommunications since the late 80s. We have been working with public bodies all over the state and trying to get them to exercise their authority over how the deployment and the operations of telecommunications is provided. That's very difficult. In fact, it doesn't exist except here. There are no state regulations that actually oversee the improvement or the operation of telecommunications here. There's no federal regulations that effectively allow any kind of oversight, but the counties and the local governments can, and they are through this agreement. And I think it will be public, and I think when you read it, you'll have a lot more confidence that the role of the county is being used in the highest level of public service to protect the interests of the consumers here, and that has never been done in the state. So that's why this is extremely important, both as a development for broadband, but as a style and a technique for how we control that the citizens give money, they should get what they pay for. And there should be a warranty for the life of that project that they will, and that's what this contract will provide. So I want to assure you that these discussions were carefully and assiduously adhered to the notion that there is no damage, overbuilding damage to Diode because of the respect for the service that you have historically provided.
Thank you.
And that came up several times. That was not by accident. That was very intentional.
So, yeah, when might the contract, if it's approved, be available then to?
If it's approved, it should be available this weekend, I would think. And we could send that over to you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, question I would have, you know, we're all for economic development, and we want the best for Gage County and its constituents. And so, you know, we've been progressively moving forward with different grant processes and trying to fill in areas that need to be filled in. If there is, since that goalpost has been moving and it continually moves as grants come available, then are you the guys we would come to say, okay, hey, look, you guys have probably done a good job of checking our areas and doing it, but there could be some areas that, oh, we didn't know that, you know, that since it's so new, you know, I mean, we just finished, you know, part of Gage County and we're already cutting people over. So, you know, that might not have been in the new maps. That might not have been available at the time. So is there a board or is there somebody we come to say, okay, in this, did you realize we've already built this?
I would anticipate that would go to Aaron. Correct me if I'm wrong. And if there's conflict that you can't resolve, then I would say come to us with it. Don't hesitate to. If Aaron can't help you with that, I'm sure he would know who would be able to, but if there's a conflict you can't resolve where there's going to be, you've got line in the ground and this is proposed to be built there, the intention is not to lay a line next year's, and the intention is to get fiber to homes that don't have fiber currently.
Okay, that's the...
Because that could happen. I mean, that's very possible. That's a very realistic situation.
It's a moving goalpost at this point. And so we just want to make sure you have a final now, and you'll vote on it. And if there's some discrepancy, yet? Is there, you know,
there was some wiggle room within the project area to allow for that, because we did want to make sure we did not overlay. And there's been a lot of conversations. NextLink was more than happy to work with and make sure that this project didn't overlay.
Because that's not the intention. Right. The intention is outside. You may look at this contract afterwards and not like it, or you may really like it. But there will be additional funding sources, hopefully, that we help facilitate, otherwise the state and feds as well. And, you know, hopefully this keeps getting built out. And maybe after all the homes are reached, there is that overbuild and additional competition in the future. You know, it could happen, just like cell carrier. You have how many carriers in the given area. Fiber is going to be like cell coverage, and then there will be the next piece of technology. But we're trying to get those people covered first. We really do appreciate the infrastructure that you've put in, the service that you put in for the county. We appreciate the bid on this project specifically as well. Hopefully you see where we're coming from as well, trying to get that biggest footprint possible for the dollars that we do have available. If there's more money, it makes it a lot easier. But just like everything, funding is always limited.
Eric, totally agree. If the last point you made, if there's more money in the future available, we'd like to be at the table from day one.
We appreciate that.
And for instance, since this time, we're completing our first broadband bridge grant called North Ellis. That's for 57 people, basically between Beatrice and the county line. The next one we have out is called West Ellis. That's for 43 more people, rural households, farms, right? And so our strategy is to continue to build out as where it makes sense. Unfortunately, we're being challenged on that grant application by NextLink on 6 homes that are right in between other builds that we've already done. So the determination on that will be made by the Public Service Commission. So, but in the future, as we continue to build, have opportunities to build, if there are areas that, hey, over by Wymore, it makes sense for us to build off the diode fiber infrastructure, we would hope that we would have your blessing to do that. More fiber off of fiber versus fixed wireless. You never know what the future holds. There are many, many federal programs coming down. So don't exclude, don't get married to one person. I
think that's just good business as a rule anyway. And Ms. Haxby has been very adamant in the pursuit of fiber in lieu of fixed wireless. I think that's going to be, just from what you told us as well, that's a stronger, better signal.
Feel free to call upon us. We're the local guys.
We do appreciate that. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Lauren.
Randy, excuse me for calling you Bill.
That's fine. That's an honor. It really is.
Ms. Haxby.
I'd like to move to approve the resolution.
Number
22-17.
Second.
Motion by Haxby, second by Dorn, to approve resolution 22-17. Any additional discussion on this? Seeing none, I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Thank you to everyone involved. It's been a long road, but I think this is going to be a real monumental one for Gage County, getting a big portion of the county with fiber. A high growth area too, so that's another big potential. With that, I would ask to go back to Mr. Kunke for a recommendation on the bids for projects C-34, 1156, 1187, 1188, and 1235, if you so have one.
I would recommend going with Contec.
For a total project amount of?
$1,155,721.
Move to approve awarding the bid contact as recommended by the Highway Superintendent, Mark Kunkey.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. I was looking at you guys that time. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. Any additional information from Mr. Minnelli?
Additional information? I think our next big project is the Platonia Bridge.
Timing on that potential? 2 weeks? I thought I saw two fingers on Mr. Kunkey's finger. It's like 2 weeks.
I would submit it for your guys' approval in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then from there, minimum of 3 weeks of bids. So
potential construction time? Summer? Spring?
Summer.
I still can't get anybody to put trim in my house, so tell me. They've been, listen, this box surprised me. So maybe things are. I would suspect that it would be first of the year.
The good thing is it's open for use. It's able to be used. It was repaired. It's in good shape yet. It's just probably time to replace it. Anything else for the good of the order?
At least that road's still open, though, right?
That road is still open. Yes, it is. All right. If not, we will adjourn the board meeting at 11:30 on the clock.